find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. As always, this is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We're just a couple of blocks north of 520, a couple of blocks west of Courtney at the intersection of Grove and Tangerine. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is building at Merritt Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, if you've got a church home, we want you to be planted there, grow there. If it's a Bible preaching church, that is. There are not every church is a Bible preaching church. There, I saw something here quite some time ago. It was a person that was they said we're looking for a church, and they named a specific demographic that they were interested in, and they didn't care. They said we don't care what the name over the door has to say. And you know, I understand, you know, the unity that we need to have in the body of Christ, but I want you to know something. Doctrine is very important. The Word of God is very important. And we need to allow God's Word to be the thing that attracts us. You know, if we get sidetracked on the other things of life, if we're more interested in program than presence, then we're going to find that we miss the mark more frequently than we would if we were say, you know what, I'm looking for a place where the Word of God is preached, where it's lived, where it's proclaimed, and where people are being exposed to it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It is life. So if you are in a Bible preaching church, thrive there. Just absolutely flourish. If you are not plugged into a church, or if your church has abandoned the Word of God, then you know, we will be praying for you that God will place you in that perfect place that He would have for you to thrive in the kingdom of God. Today, I want to say thank you to the folks at Jets Concrete. They not only are believers in the radio program, but they are very interested in seeing Brevard County move forward, and they have been in the construction industry doing block and concrete work for decades now. They have a great work ethic. They are hard workers. They have expertise. They have all of the connections. They've got the years of experience, good experience. You know, there is a person that said, you know, well, practice makes perfect. Well, if you go to the driving range of a golf course, you will see that bad practice just makes you bad when you're out there on the course. So it is practicing the right things that makes for a good experience, and Jits Concrete will do the job, the block job, the concrete job. They will do it the right way. They will do it with skill, with excellence, and I encourage you, if you have one of those types of projects that you have on the calendar in the days ahead, give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And when you call them, tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. That would be a blessing to us. So we have been talking about things that belong to God, and we started off in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, and it says there, "Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.' Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So we went from this passage and we went back to Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 7 specifically, where we looked at what God's design for his house was to be, that it was to be a house not just for the Jewish people, but for people from every background that wanted to walk in covenant relationship with God according to his terms. And so we talked about that we need to be a place that is welcoming to people, that we need to have a godly attitude, that we need to make godly choices, and that even if others think that we are not going to be very fruitful, that God believes that he, working in us, can create something that is going to be more enduring than what temporal society has to offer. But he wants us to walk in covenant. Everything revolves around covenant, that he will give to us. He will bring us to that place of joy and destiny. It's to be a house of prayer, and that God will make us joyful as we pray, which is kind of something that many people don't think of. They think of prayer as a drudgery or just something that they've got to do and check off their box, but really it is a source of joy, and that we are supposed to be praying for all nations. So that's really where God's design for his house was to be. Jesus comes to the temple in Matthew chapter 21, and he finds things in there that don't resemble what his blueprint for his house was. I will tell you this, that any change of design that the owner did not wish to make, did not design, did not want to implement, that is not an improvement, that is vandalism. It is not what God designed it. And if you had your house, you own it, you've paid for it, it's paid off, speaking by faith for a lot of us here, and you say, you know what, I want it to be like this, no matter what that design is, and the contractor comes in, and you wanted a four-bedroom, two-bath, and they took it and made it into a two-bedroom, one-bath, that's not what you designed it. And you are not going to want to compensate the contractor for doing something that you didn't want done. That wasn't the house that you wanted in place. That's what Jesus found when he came to the temple. He found that there were a lot of things going on that didn't line up with what we saw in Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 7. Instead of it being a place where his name was recognized, it was a place where money was being exploited out of people who were there to worship God. Okay, so back in those days, you had a sacrifice. There was animal sacrifice that was in place, and there was provision that was made for people who were traveling from a long distance that you could sell your sacrifice at your home, you know, wherever that was. You could travel without being burdened by carrying the animal. You could bring the money, and you could buy a replacement animal to offer up as that sacrifice. And so there were people who were money changers, and they set up in the temple area, and they sold the doves that were there. It was a mercantile situation. It was more of a bazaar than it was a house of worship. And Jesus comes along, and he says, this is unacceptable. And he comes in to remove things from the temple that weren't supposed to be there. He could do that. He's the owner of the house. It's his house. And, you know, I think that there's a tremendous, tremendous picture here in that when Jesus comes and takes up residence in our heart and becomes our Lord and Savior, he's going to begin to purge things out of our life, not because he's mean, cruel, and heartless, but because he loves us and he wants to restore what his plan for our life was in the first place. So everybody has things that they're going to need to set aside. Everybody. Whether it's your anger, your habits, your sins, your hobbies, everybody's going to have some things that Jesus comes along and says, we got to get this out of here. This is taking up space that is meant for something else. We need to purge this from your life. That's not because Jesus hates you. It's because he loves you. And so I think that if we would, you know, realize that, that this is what Jesus does, and, you know, here he does it in a quite demonstrative fashion. He goes in and starts overturning tables and throwing people out of the temple that were doing things they weren't supposed to. In our lives, it starts off very gentle, you know, just like you would treat a baby, and he begins to the process of purification and sanctification. So not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. So he says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And that goes back to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Let's turn back there. And let's begin reading in verse number, let's see. Oh, that's why I'm still in the wrong chapter. It's like, wait a minute, that's not what it's telling me. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 8. Behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, says the Lord. So what he says is that there were people who were doing a lot of violations of the Ten Commandments, that people were putting their trust in deceptive words. They weren't living a life of integrity, and yet when they came into the house of God, they were pretending like everything is okay. Listen, this is going on rampantly in our society in 2020. People who just think it's their religious duty to show up on Sunday morning, but outside of that, there is no obligation to live by any sort of standard throughout the rest of the week. And God says that is what had made his house, which is to be called by his name, a den of thieves in your eyes. Okay? So it's not just the merchandising. So you hear a lot of people who have a problem with worship through giving that want to focus on the merchandising aspect, but yet when you go back to that original context, those same people have no problem stealing. They don't scream about murder and adultery and lying and idol worship and pursuit of other gods, having other gods before God. So if we're going to restore the standard to my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations, we need to allow God to purify everything in the temple that isn't of God. So what have we made it? What have we made it? What have we lowered the standard to? You see, the reason that Baal worship was so enticing to the children of Israel as opposed to worshiping the Lord God Almighty is that it was socially acceptable among other nations. Other nations were worshiping all sorts of Baals and Molech and a whole bunch of different gods. And so it took them out of a position of worshiping exclusively the Lord God Almighty, and it put them into that profane or common basket with all of the other nations. Look, now we're not standing out. We're not going to be attacked like we were before. And that's just not the case. The enemy is a liar. Okay. The other consideration was that the standards for Baal worship were not as exclusive as what worshiping the Lord was. So when they were worshiping Baal, there was immorality that was permitted in the temple. That's not permitted in God's house. There was a lower standard of worship, and it wasn't necessarily an exclusive relationship. You see, monotheism, we should be monogamous, and that's being married to one person, okay? And before you think that that's a duh statement, you need to realize that there is a tremendous push that is going on in a social recreative sense to try and expand the biblical definition of what a home is. A home is one man, one woman living in matrimony before God. That's what God's standard is. And so through court challenges, the Supreme Court has tried to redefine that and said, well, it doesn't have to be one man, one woman. And now there is a push that says, well, it just doesn't have to be one man and another individual. It could be a multiple situation. I want you to understand, God still gets to define the terms. It's his house. It's his house. And so the question that I have is, what have we made God's house? It might not be a house of merchandise the way it was in Jesus, when Jesus came to the temple that day. We might not be doing authorizing murder and stealing and things of that nature, but I guarantee you there are some things in my life that don't line up to God's standards, and so I need to be more than glad for Jesus to come and purge those areas of my life. I guarantee you that there are things in your life. The reason that I can guarantee that is because there is not a single perfect person among us, but yet we are being perfected on a daily basis. God wants for you and I to be able to trust in his word because it is going to be expedient for us. It's going to be in our best interest, and it is going to bring us the greatest profit spiritually and quality of life-wise. So what have we made it? And if we have made it something less than what God wants it to be, then we need to say, God, have your way. Have your way. The other thing I wanted to share with you about this passage is how many cleansings. Jesus, when he launched his ministry, had already been to the temple area and already cleansed it once. And now he comes at the end of his ministry, right before he is sacrificed on the cross, and he cleanses it again. And so I want you to see that there is a great desire for holiness and purity on behalf of God for God's house. Okay? So when we come to church, we need to realize that it is a special place. The church is an organic construction of believers throughout a community, but there are also places where we come together for the purpose of worship. And so we need to make sure that when people come to hear from God, that they do come to hear from God. So I remember God asking me one time in prayer. He said, this is why you are where you are. How many times do you want to go around this mountain? And I said, I only want to go around this mountain one time. One time will be sufficient. Thank you very much. And I have not chosen to make the same mistakes that I did back then. And that was from a prayer 9 years earlier. And so God has an amazing memory. By the way, the Bible is very clear that he pays attention to the prayers that we pray in faith. He pays attention to the prayers that we pray, and he is working on those situations. I want to encourage you in that arena. So we could look at this and say, wow, isn't this just an amazing story? And man, God really wants to clean up that holy place. And so a lot of society wants to point their finger at the located church and say, here is the problem with the organized church. And, you know, let's be honest, from time to time there are problems that become glaring problems, and we need to address those situations. We need to be concerned about restoring God's house to the things that God wanted it to be all along. Now, what about the organic church? If we can admit that God wants to work to make a better representation in the organized church, what about the organic church? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 16, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become, he may become wise, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness, and again the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's." That's the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What he was saying to this church that was fractured and segmented, and, you know, one was talking about, well, I am of Paul and I'm of Apollos and I'm of Peter, and another would say I'm of Christ. He said, you're missing the mark. Jesus is the one that died for you. You're not going to be known as the house of Paul or the house of Apollos or the house of Peter. You are supposed to be known as the house, the temple of the living God. And God wants his Spirit. God wants God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling in you and dwelling in me. And so we need to realize that he's even more concerned about what's going on in our heart and what his blueprint for our heart is than he was when he cleansed the temple. I'm going to say that again. He's more concerned about what's going on in your heart and my heart, and have we deviated from the blueprint that he's provided for our lives, than he is the actual physical structure that we've been talking about here for the past few days. You see, Jesus said that he wanted his house to be known there, and I want you to, or his name to be known there. He wants his name to be known in your life and in my life as well. So let's submit ourselves and say, God, anything in my life, anything in my mind, my will, my emotions, anything in my finances, anything in my schedule that is ungodly, that is displeasing to you, anything that's not of you, I want it gone. Don't cling to it. We need to surrender it. Now, I want to I want to mention one more thing back in Matthew chapter 21. And that is when Jesus comes in and restores the temple to what the temple was supposed to be, there is a benefit for those around. In verse number 14, it says, "Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." So there were people without vision that came to the temple because Jesus was in the temple, and it had been restored to the purpose that it was before. And all of a sudden, Jesus touched them and healed them, and they had their vision restored. There were people who needed strength in their legs. They needed healing in their body. And because the temple had been cleansed and restored to the godly purpose that it was supposed to be, all of a sudden, miracles started taking place again. And I want to encourage you that all of us could use a good summer cleaning. You know, right now, I don't know that in my lifetime there has ever been such an emphasis on making sure that the areas around you were clean, that you were washing your hands, that you were using hand sanitizer, that you were deep cleaning the places that you go to and things of that nature, as there has been in this year. Well, I want you to know that if we will submit ourselves to God and say, "God, would you do a deep clean in my life?" we are going to find supernatural things begin to take place once again. I don't know about you, but when I had an eye problem, I wanted that eye problem solved so that I could see again. The doctor said, "You couldn't see out of that eye at all." Now I can. Praise God. If you are immobilized, you can't function the way that other people function. God wants to be the place, His house to be the place where your body is transformed by the glory of God, because the glory of God is restored to the house of God. So, what does my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? That's what we need to get back to, because when we build our lives and our churches according to God's blueprint, wonderful things are going to take place in the lives around us. God bless you. You have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Praise you, Lord, and may